We are so very happy to have all of you here. Such a tremendous blessing to have Elder Quinto and his wife here. Brother Gus is going to come in just a moment and introduce him and tell some about the work there. So I'll turn it over to Brother Gus in a minute. What a wonderful blessing to be able to have a brother here from the Philippines. When was that work started, Brother Gus?
94.
Brother Quinto. Now, how many of y'all have ever wanted to shout in a service and you quench the spirit? Huh? Come on, now let's see the hands out there. You mean you never wanted to shout before? But you thought, well, somebody over here or somebody over here will see me and we're too ashamed. Do you know the trees of the field put us to shame because they clap their hands for the glory of the Lord? I want everybody to stand up because I tell you, God has worked in our midst to see Sister Betty Jo Harder here. I tell you, we didn't know a while back if she was even going to come through that surgery. But she's not only come through it, she's here tonight, and God is blessing her. So I want you to lift your hands to the Lord tonight, and let's say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We bless your holy name. Thank you. And if you want to shout, you go right ahead. Now's the time. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Gus, you come on.
I have a lot of reasons today to thank this church. First of all, the singing was absolutely wonderful. And I appreciate it and I rejoice in it. I thank your pastor. He did come to our house. We had a meeting. I invited 7 or 8 ministers that came to my home. We tried to follow James 5, where it says, call the elders, anoint the person with oil, and pray over them. And the Lord blessed that abundantly. Now, we're not totally out of the woods yet, but before we went into surgery, they said she's got an infection. It's incurable. It's in the bones. We've got to take the metal out because this particular infection does hide in the bones and hide as well in the metal. But they said it's incurable and it will kill her and we don't have much hope. And matter of fact, they said, we've used about all our tools and we don't have any more. We've got a great God. Amen. And we did have a wonderful, sweet, and warm prayer meeting. And we were lifted up during that and appreciate very much your pastor being with us. The Lord did bless her after it's over. They say, we think we have the infection under control. The back's not quite as bad because of some infusions she was taking for 6 months, all day. Well, 3 hours a day, every day for those months. And the Lord blessed us through it. We're very, very thankful. Got something else to thank you for. A young man in this church called me while I'm in the Philippines, and he says, do you think it's God's will that I come join you in the Philippines? I said, I don't know. I said, you better depend on the Lord to guide you because I don't know how. But he came and it was encouraging like the coming of Titus. And he helped us immensely. He also brought a bunch of girls that would come every time. Cute as a button and just sweet as he could be. And we enjoyed him immensely. And a man from Georgia here, Brother Wiley Puckett. Maybe some of you know Brother Wiley. He said, I notice y'all don't have song books. You sing out of mimeograph sheets. And he said, I want to buy a song book for every primitive Baptist in the Philippines. He said, how many of you have? I said, well, we baptized 2,000. Didn't faze him at all. He said, I also want you to imprint their names on it. And then I was in Texas, and an oil man in Texas said, I would like to send a Bible in their own language to every member in the Philippines. I said, we got 2,000. And he said, that's all right. And he imprinted their names in most of those Bibles and song books for which we love Brother Chris and we greatly appreciate him. Now, you'll think I'm trying to filibuster, but I made a statement in the paper that your service would start at 7 o'clock. So I'm going to talk for 10 minutes. And that way, if somebody missed it, they should have got here for song service. I love the doctrines of grace. The message of the sovereignty of God in salvation is the most encouraging, heartwarming message to be delivered today. It's up to date. My friends, it's my only hope.
Amen.
When a brother went to the Philippines, I didn't know he was going. I didn't know anything about it. Tickets were bought, and I heard about it. I wanted to go, but it was too late. So I called up this pastor's wife on the Sunday at the conclusion of the time. I says, tell me about it. Tell me what's happening. And she began to explain it to me, and she says, oh, by the way, Brother Jeff's on the phone right now. And if you would like, I can punch a button and you can talk directly to him. Well, I'm not up to snuff on high tech, but she did it. And I said, Jeff, tell me about the meeting. His voice was gruff and he was hoarse. And he said, we baptized 44 people today, among them 7 pastors, and the excitement was contagious. I said, my friend, if you go again, I want to go. He said, you got it. We went. Same thing happened again. But 12 ministers joined in that second trip. That was in August of 1994. Continued to go. Each year we'd go sometimes once, sometimes twice, and the Lord continued to bless and prosper that work. Today, we have 100 congregations in 7 major islands. In Manila alone, which was a little later to take off, we have 25 ordained ministers. Over 15 churches in the Manila area. Now, I realize to these mega churches, that's not a whole lot of growth. But to us, now, that's downright exciting.
That's right.
And I rejoice mostly because they're continuing and I'm not there. The Lord has blessed those national men to rise up. And Brother David Powell said when he came, he said, I look at the ministry here. They're like soldiers that have fixed bayonets and screamed charge. Isn't that exciting? I rejoice that such is so. In the Philippines, about 95 million people. 75 different languages. And that's just major languages. They have tribal groups that have their own language, and the Bible is not even in some of them. And they have a great work in Davao, where I lived, where they were translating the Bible in every language in the Philippines. But the Lord has prospered the work. But what excites me is, I was preaching with Sonny Powell's and in his home country, and one of his members asked him, he said, do we have any churches in foreign countries? He said, oh yeah, we've got them in California. If you're from California, forgive me. But you perhaps understand. But I rejoice that the message we proclaim and the simple churches that we visit has been carried to India and Africa and the Baltic countries and Siberia. Now, I'd love to go to Siberia. I don't know whether it's me that wants to go to Siberia or the Lord wants me to go to Siberia. But the point I want to make is the message is being spread abroad excitedly. When we went to the Philippines, in September of 2000, my wife and I boarded a plane with 13 adopted children. We got in the air, and we weren't in the air just a few minutes. Three or four of the children were throwing up. And we thought, oh my, this is not a good start. We got to Tokyo, and we found us, Tokyo's crowded like the Philippines. And while we were there, we found an open space. We sat on the floor, and somebody had a birthday. I tell you the truth, I've forgotten now which one of them had a birthday. But we had presents wrapped and all the things, and we sat down and thanked the Lord for the blessings of being thus far toward our destination. And we even brought a birthday cake. And then we landed in the Philippines, and everybody had on a shirt that designated Harder Family. We love the Philippines. And off we came. And they met us there at the station with two jeepneys to carry the luggage. Everybody could have two suitcases that weighed as much as 75 pounds, a carry-on, and a purse. And so everybody, didn't matter how old they were, everybody had two suitcases of 75 pounds. And that's all we had. We packed everything else and loaded up and came on our way. And they met us and carried us to a hotel. And the hotel, it didn't have doors. It had beads hanging where you would just part the beads and walk in. And the kids, and the boys in particular, a little rough and tumble, but they were hanging on to my britches. I mean, the language was foreign, and the things were difficult. And as we walked in, my wife and I looked at each other and says, "You think we did the right thing?" It was fearful. But we had an excitement. For we felt the Lord was involved in this. And as we began to minister, we didn't go to a school to learn how to be missionaries. We didn't have anybody to instruct us among the primitive bandits. We were dependent upon a book. It's called The Acts of the Apostles. And I studied it, and I studied it, and I studied it as to how this would go about. We first dealt with individuals. If they had a brother or a cousin in another city that was interested in the spiritual things, we'd go there and we'd start having regular meetings. We'd have Bible studies in homes. And when we developed 20 or 25 people, we would constitute a church, or at least wait a few months and make sure that it had sufficient strength. And then a breakthrough came through. In almost every major city in the Philippines, they have a ministerial association. And it's Calvinists and Arminians and Charismatics and Church of Christ. And I mean, just a conglomerate. You know, when you're in a foreign country, you try to find some friends. And anybody that was different from, it's a Catholic country. 80% of the people there are members of Catholic churches. And they have a variety of different kind of Catholics. But at any rate, we kind of stuck together. And I got a reputation of bringing some new thoughts on grace. And I began to receive these invitations to go to these cities and present our doctrine and practice, often for 2 days. And strangely enough, sometimes with 100 people, 100 ministers in the congregation, they'd come and say, "Oh, I like that. Would you come to my church and preach at my church?" Well, I might. No. With excitement, I would go and share our doctrine. And oftentimes we would develop a friendship and a love and would build from a minister to his congregation and develop our churches in that fact. That was one of the reasons why we grew with such rapidity. And it was an excitement to me and my family. I missed a lot of things while I was there. I missed my children. Oh, we were blessed with bunches of children. I'd call them regularly. But it also missed my preachers. And I'd call and inform them, "Well, Sarah, you wouldn't believe it. This is what's happening. Brother Gaffel, I mean to tell you, things are good." And we'd call them on. We'd be going down a river in a canoe because you couldn't get there by road to go preach to somebody in the middle of nowhere. And I'd be on. Cell phones are miraculous. I never had figured out there. But I'd be sitting there talking to my ministerial friends that I've loved and learned and been with all these years and share the excitement that we had. I'm thankful. Hey, it's 7 o'clock. If they're not here now. Brother Conrado, I was received a letter from three men in Manila, and they said, "We have learned your doctrine through one that you had converted in Davao, and he's left us." We have three churches. We practice your practice. We believe your doctrine. None of us are baptized. Would you come and baptize our churches? Now, I didn't get a letter like that every month, but that was quite an exception. And so I went. And lo and behold, they did believe our doctrine. They did understand it. And I, as well as some other ministers, baptized these three churches. And a year or so after that time, we're at a restaurant called Jollibee. Now, Jollibee's a McDonald's. Very similar, except they do have southern fried chicken and rice, and it's good. But anyway, he walked up and says, "I have a friend here in town I'm talking to who's somewhat of a Calvinist, and would you talk to him?" I said, "You bet I would." Get him on the phone. Got him on the phone, and I said, "My name's Gus Hart." He said, "Well, I know who you are." And it was Conrado. And he said, "Want to meet you. Want to talk to you." So we met and talked. And immediately with that warmth of love that you have was just some special people. He said, "Would you preach to my church?" And he said, "I've got a subject I want you to preach." I said, "What is it?" He said, "It's immediate regeneration. That's Holy Spirit regeneration, being born again without the Bible or the preacher or the soul winner, that God does it himself." He said, "Would you preach that to my church?" I said, "Yeah." What I wanted to say, rat got a tail, you know. I went there and I preached to them. They received it warmly. He said, "Would you come back?" I said, "Yeah." Then periodically for a month or two, I came back, enjoyed every time, great liberty. Then he said, "We're close." He said, "I'm going to go door to door with every member, and I'm going to try to see where the church stands on these things." I said, "Would you like me to go with you?" He said, "No, this is my job." Got a call a few months later. "Brother Harder, come. We're going to baptize about 70 people. I said, I'll be there. And the Lord blessed that whole church to come. I don't think they lost one member. And maybe not the one. I'll have to let him explain that. But I've been going back there. The singing's beautiful. Now, it's almost as good as what y'all did tonight. Maybe even a little better. You would enjoy it. My brother-in-law, who's not a Primitive Baptist, he came up there to one weekend to be with us. And I went to Conrado's church. And he says, you know, that hole-in-the-wall place that they meet up there, that was pretty good. Now, it's often not as nice as what we've got here. But the Lord's there. And that's the difference. I want you to give your kind attention to this brother. The Lord's blessed him. Five or six nights in a row. And the preaching has been wonderful. I pray that God will bless him with a special spirit of liberty this night to proclaim the glories of a righteous God.
Amen.
Pray for him. Heavenly Father, we are asking that you might bless this evening with grace and liberty, and that give us ears to hear and a desire to follow. We ask this in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.
Amen.